Okay, so
Okay.
Mike, what are the other three teams do you want?
I'll take the Raiders.
Oh.
Oh my God. Speaking of jumping on a grenade, holy shit.
I know, wow.
Mike, you don't have to do this.
Mike's like, I love Jalen Naylor. He's my new guy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Grisco, here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Today we are doing the NFC North, a division where, if you ask Walker, has one good team in it and three teams full of bad guys who are frauds. Walker, is that correct?
That's right.
And the one good team is, of course, the Green Bay Packers.
No!
No, it's of course, Walker's Lions. So, Walker, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Just chilling in not Cedar Rapids, in normal location, not undisclosed location. So it's going to be a super normal podcast today. We're not talking about anything I'm really passionate about. Gonna be very composed and not at all histrionic.
That's right. They're calling Walker disclosed and composed.
Sure.
Not undisclosed.
Yes.
Disclosed
That's
and
right.
Composed, baby.
Disclosed and composed. Yeah,
All right.
that you know what? Not bad.
There we go. Mike, how are the Rivercats today?
Not good.
Oh no.
Yeah, they lost 5-1.
Ew.
Yeah, and then they lost yesterday like 11-2 or something like that. They're playing the best team in AAA right now. The Rivercats did not make the playoffs. See how they do the playoffs? I don't know if you guys know how they do the playoffs.
No, I don't.
Anyways, so the seasons break down in two halves, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so of all the teams in the PCL, the best team makes the playoffs the first time, and then the second half, the best team makes the playoffs. So they basically start all over again in the second half. So right now the Rivercats they didn't make the playoffs by a game and a half. They're playing the team that made the playoffs in the first half. So the first half team is really showing why they won this the first half. So
that's interesting, yeah. How that works though. Like you get two half titles basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty interesting.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. All right. So we're gonna start working through the NFC North. We're finishing up the NFC. Next week we're gonna talk the AFC West, and we're gonna do the same thing, go team by team. And I am starting with the Chicago Bears. I'm just stalling a little bit because I accidentally closed 4-for-4. Want to make sure we have that open when we talk ADP. All right. So let's get into it. So the Chicago Bears, they are definitely actually 100% my team this year. Last year I wrote a couple thousand words on them and only to discover that they weren't actually the team that I was covering. So a part of this is going to be slightly a conversation with last year's work that I did, kind of see how it worked out, specifically when I talk about Caleb Williams. The 2026 Chicago Bears, I can't believe that I voluntarily chose to talk about a team that will most likely have Waleed yell at me whenever he hears this in probably about 6 weeks. They finished last season as one of the clutchest or luckiest teams in the league, depending on how you want to measure their 7-4 record in one score games last season, with 6 fourth quarter comebacks, the most for a quarterback under 25 years old, tied with a man very near and dear to one Mr. Mike Valverde's heart, Peyton Manning. Walker, was it clutch or luck?
With what clutch or luck?
The Bears last season.
The Bears, mostly luck.
Mostly luck, yeah. They, quote, got away with it.
Yeah, repeatedly.
Yeah, so how did they do it? Well, in 2024, they spent the number one overall pick on a quarterback, and in 2025, they spent their head coach pick on an offensive guru. So they did it with offense, of course. Last season, they were top 10 in all the following statistics. Points, yards, and then individually, passing and rushing, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, which I said, rushing touchdowns, yards per attempt at both passing and rushing, points per drive, EPA per play, and offensive success rate. They were firmly one of the top 10 offenses in the league, no matter how you want to measure it. Basic yards and points, a little bit more advanced per play, a little bit more advanced statistics. They were top 10 no matter how you slice it. There isn't much that has changed to make me bearish about them coming into 2026. There were two main changes. They removed DJ Moore from the equation and they added Sam Roush. I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't write about Sam Roush. I don't give a shit. Xavion Thomas is a special teamer. I also don't give a shit about him. So pretty much we're talking about deleting DJ Moore from a top 10 offense and distributing what he did amongst everybody else. So we're going to talk first about the TLDR on the offense. Williams is a strong but likely volatile discount quarterback one if you can get him in a point where he falls, but his ADP is a little high. Luther Burden is one of the best combos of talent, pedigree, and opportunity to be a 2026 breakout. Roma Dunze's foot is fucked up, but nobody seems to be particularly concerned about it, so I won't be. And Colson Levelin is a beast and has league-winning upside. DeAndre Swift is a great middling RB2 and a better flex, and Kyle Monongai is one of the best handcuffs in the league. So that's the TLDR on this, but let's go in a little bit deeper. Let's talk about your Madden 2026 cover boy, Caleb Williams, starting in 2028 for your Indiana Bears. Heading into 2025, things were not great for Caleb Williams, as he finished 2024 with one of the worst rookie campaigns in a full season in recent memory. Since 2020, nine quarterbacks have at least 400 pass attempts, and among those nine quarterbacks, Caleb ranked 7th in yards per attempt, the highest in sack or sack rate, depending if you want to call that 9th or 1st. He was the worst, however you want to call that. 7th in completion percentage, 6th in touchdown rate, but the 2nd best interception rate. So he was getting his ass put into the ground and wasn't turning the ball over, but he also wasn't doing much else. The easy way out would be that Caleb had a disastrous offensive line, so he really didn't have a chance to be good. I looked at NFL Plus and checked how he did with a clean pocket. Out of the 36 qualified quarterbacks in 2024, he had the 7th most unpressured dropbacks, but he also ranked 19th in touchdowns, 24th in quarterback rating, 32nd in yards per attempt, 27th in completion percentage, 30th in CPOE, and 24th in EPA per dropback while unpressured. So let's see how things change for Caleb going into 2025, where they did make they drafted Roma Dunze, they added Ben Johnson, and they made an effort to grow the line talent-wise through free agency and the draft. So 21 quarterbacks attempted at least 400 passes last season. Caleb ranked 13th in yards per attempt, 16th in sacks, 19th in sack rate, which was a nice step up from the worst, 11th in touchdown rate, tied with Aaron Baker and Bryce Young, and he was 21st out of 21 quarterbacks in interception rate. He did not throw picks. That's overall. Unpressured, among the 33 qualified quarterbacks last year, he was 6th in touchdowns, 18th in QBR, 15th in yards per attempt, worst in completion percentage, worst in CPOE, both next to JJ McCarthy. CPOE, by the way, completion percentage over expectation. And 20th in EPA per dropback. So some of these stats, namely completion percentage, were straight up bad. But he showed a huge jump in QBR or QB rating, touchdowns, and yards per attempt. His EPA per dropback, unpressured, also took a step in the right direction, but it's still not great. Has he tried being Jordan Love and making the EPA machine go burr? Just a thought. Under pressure, by the way, Caleb Williams is still a mess. He ranked dead last in the NFL in QB rating after avoiding a sack, which speaks to a struggle to produce late and down consistently, despite what his late game heroics showed you last season. He was 2nd in the NFL in plays. Let me try this. 2nd in the NFL in throws after avoiding a sack with 31 pass attempts, but he completed just 7 of these. So it wasn't a small sample size. It is something to work on for Caleb. By the way, the two worst quarterbacks in the league last year after avoiding a sack were Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love in a completion percentage over expectation. Also, fun stat, Walker, I don't know if you saw this, but do either of you know who led the NFL in getting sacked after avoiding a sack last year?
Oh, it's got to be Caleb.
Mike, any guesses?
So I'm going to go Aaron.
Aaron? No, Aaron was getting his ass put in the dirt whenever he got touched. It was Cam Ward.
Oh. Cam Ward.
Cam Ward got sacked. Also Jackson Dart, but I don't count Jackson Dart because just knowing their two games, that was Jackson Dart trying to take off and getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage. But yes. Cam Ward led the league in sacks after avoiding a sack, which is just a very funny statistic.
I like that stat. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't go looking for it. I was looking at just looking through Fantasy Points data suite, and it was sack avoided, and I clicked it, and then one of the columns was sacks, and I was like, wait a second. So this is sacks after avoiding a sack, and I was like, oh my god, 10 times last year. Okay. Where was I? Oh. Those Caleb stats weren't all Caleb's fault. The Bears did him dirty a lot last season, especially the wide receivers. The 7.4% drop rate was fourth last season behind Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Vikings. So wide receivers were dropping the ball a lot. The Bears lost the second most passing yards in the league last year to drops with 373 yards. And a lot of that had to do with Caleb chucking downfield as his drops averaged 9.8 air yards, the third most in the league. So he also ranked third in the NFL with 3 end zone drops. So Caleb got done dirty by the wide receivers. Let's look at a couple things that more things to get a picture of Caleb Williams from his player profiler page. He was 5th in money throws, 2nd in danger plays, and 3rd in interceptable passes with 20. He only had 7 interceptions last year. So I reran the math. About 63% of interceptable passes become picks now. So you're looking at probably something around 12, 13 picks for Caleb this year. If the interceptable passes stay the same, but the conversion rate increases. So we see a picture of a talented quarterback who likes to chuck it downfield, but still needs to hew down the edges to become a more consistent weapon. I do believe that the second year under Ben Johnson will make the Bears more quote normal and not cardiac kids like they were last year. I also fear and regret to inform Waleed and Tony and Ryan that Caleb Williams was insanely lucky with picks last year. Like I said, with the 35% interceptable pass conversion ratio in a year where the league rate was north of 60%. Caleb is a perfectly cromulent rusher, mostly scrambling for yards as he had the 7th most scrambles last year, but putting up 380 yards rushing or more in each of his first 2 seasons. That's right. With 3 rushing touchdowns last season. Here's my problem with Caleb. Without looking at ADP, can either of you guess what his ADP is at quarterback? Just in quarterback rankings, not overall.
I'm going to guess QB8.
QB8? Mike, any guesses?
QB9.
QB9. He is QB7 so far this year.
Oh, damn. I should have gone the other one.
QB7 and he returned this price just 5 times last year. He finished 5 games as QB1, QB1, QB4, QB6, and QB7. Despite this, he finished as the QB1 in points per game last season because his lows weren't that low. You know, he was diving down just a hair, just outside the top 12. But QB7 does feel almost like a hard cap for Caleb to me because finishing as a startable quarterback just 5 times last year and still finishing as QB7 means he's kind of maxed out to me in terms of like what he'll be doing because the Bears are a run first offense. They have the 11th lowest passing rate over expectation and they play a ball control style as they were in the bottom half of pace of play last year. And on top of all of that, they got away with it. Like all those late game heroics that, you know, easily could have gone the other way. Those all get rolled into the statistics, right? So you think that if they even out his interception rate, even out his money throws completing, even out all of that stuff, you're going to see a quarterback that I kind of feel like QB7 is kind of his ceiling, right? I feel like without injury, he's kind of hard capped behind Allen, Jackson, May, Burrow, Daniels, and Hurts, right? Or Dak, depending on what you think about Dak, which Walker I'm coming around on Dak. You had him QB4. I'm coming around.
Hey.
There we go. So I ask you both, Caleb Williams or Jalen Hurts?
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
All right. I ask you both. Actually, I ask Mike because I already know Walker's answer. Williams or Dak?
I'm going to go Dak.
Walker, you're, of course, going Dak. Yep. Or Justin Herbert?
Herbert.
I'll go Caleb there.
All right. Are we going Caleb or BTJ?
BTJ.
I'm going to go Caleb.
All right. Caleb or Chuber?
Caleb.
Or who?
Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, Chuba. Yeah, Caleb.
All right. Caleb or Harold Fannin?
Fannin.
Yeah, I'm going to go Fannin.
Caleb Williams, over under 3,999.5 passing yards.
Under, baby. No chance.
Best bit in the league.
We love it, yeah. Folks. It'll never, ever, ever happen. It will happen, but it's never going to happen.
It will never happen until it does.
You know what? You can't.
That's infallible logic. Mike, over under 3,999.5 passing yards for Caleb.
I'm going to go under.
All right. Let's talk about Luther Burden III, my king. I've declared lots of guys my king this episode. So Luther Burden was hardly used in the first half of last season, registering over 50% of snaps for the first time in week 12. From that point on, he only registered 55% of snaps for the rest of the season. So he was hardly used last year. And especially in the first half. So his overall 2025 numbers, there's not much there. 60 targets, 47 catches, 652 yards, 2 TDs. After he hit that 50% of snaps threshold for the first time in week 12, things got better. In the 6 games that follow that, till he only played a part game in week 18, so the week 12 through 17, that 6 games, he played on 105 target, 79 pick. That would be a lot of picks for a wide receiver.
Oh, yes.
105 targets, 79 receptions, 1,142 yard pace from that point forward. What's wild is this stretch of 6 games is better than any 6 game stretch that Roma Dunze had in his rookie season. So I went back and I literally just did like, went through and I did an Excel thing where I was like, add up the stats from the 6 prior games and paste it out to 17. And Dunze's best stretch of his rookie campaign was paced out to 99 targets, 62 catches, 983 yards. I pulled touchdowns from this because touchdowns aren't really reliable in a 6 game sample. So that's just like the yardage thing. Adunze's best stretch of his career, by the way, while we're talking about this, did come last season where he paced for in a 6 game stretch, 133 targets, 71 catches, 1,235 yards. That was weeks 2 through 8 last year. So before the Luther Burden breakout. Back to Burden. I believe that Luther Burden is the best wide receiver on the Bears offense, especially when you consider that Adunze is dealing with a foot injury. And, you know, that sapped him at the back half of last year. And it's also going to, it's hanging over him this year. I do talk about later in the script about like, maybe we shouldn't be double counting that, but I love Burden talent wise more than Adunze anyways. I did comp him to, slight somewhere between, Amon-Ra St. Brown and somebody else in that mold. Between there, he's not as psychotic as Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, Burden didn't have a lot of targets last year, but what he had on a per target basis was great. He ranked 3rd in yards per route run last year, 7th in yards per target, 4th in QB rating per target, 7th in fantasy points per route run, and 10th in fantasy points per target. Fantasy points per route run, fantasy points per target, I don't like to use a lot because it usually points to an outlier touchdown season. It usually is pointing to somebody who, like a few years ago, it was Quentin Johnston who had, what was it, like 10 touchdowns on 60 catches or something like that. It usually points to one of those seasons. But since Burton had just 2 touchdowns last year, that means that there's still more meat on the bone, right? He's not getting outlier production from these 2 touchdowns. The DJ Moore departure does clear up 85 targets and they replaced it with nothing, like I said. There were no notable pass catching additions to the Bears this offense. As I already mentioned, Xavion Thomas is a special teams guy. Luxury tight end and Sam Roush were added in the draft, but that's it. Burden already had a chunk of targets last season with 60, so throwing in half of the vacated DJ Moore targets makes him for an easy 100 targets and making him one of my favorite breakout players for this season. He's an easy click for me at his ADP. Wide receiver 21, pick 44 overall. How do you feel about that? too much projection, a little too high.
I like it. I would take him there.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's definitely on the upside of things. So
yeah,
I'd be happy to take him there.
You know what he reminds me of? Everybody was really in on that one Chris Godwin breakout year a few years ago, and he went around wide receiver 2021. He's really reminding me of that, where everybody is like, this guy is special. This season's going to be great. But you have to take him behind all the established guys that you know are going to be good, right? So he's kind of in that break-even point for me. I love getting Burton, pick 44. So that would be what, the fourth round? I'll take it.
Yeah, fourth round. Take him like at the 3-4 turn.
I wouldn't be mad at you for that. So, all right, let's talk about Luther Burden or Terry McLaurin.
I'll take Burden.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Luther Burden or Jalen Waddle.
Burden.
Yeah, Burden.
Luther Burden or Rad Lad.
Burden.
I think Ladd's going to have a bounce back in his third season.
Mike's in on Ladd. All right, what about taking him or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar.
Burden.
All right, what about him or his teammate, DeAndre Swift? That's the only problem here. So they go four picks apart.
Oh, I think it's Burden easily.
Burden easily.
I like Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go with Burden there.
All right, Burden or Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren.
Burden.
All right, let's talk Rome Odunze. This is my official foray into Rome Odunze foot discourse. Every player is dealing with something, and Rome Odunze is just being honest about it. I see folks trying to say that he missed five games with a stress fracture in his foot, and that he said this thing about his foot being messed up is his, quote, new normal. That's called double dipping. And from where I'm from, can't double dip the chip, man. You get one hit at the salsa. Don't be double dipping it.
And, yeah.
And marking him down for his foot injury last year and marking him down because he's like, hey, man, that messed up my foot. That's double dipping, you guys. You can't do that. Luckily for Rome Odunze versus Luther Burden discourse, a lot of people seem to think that it's an either or proposition, but I think both players are going to thrive this year. They occupy completely different roles in the offense, which will allow both to produce. And it was a high end offense last year. Burden finished last season as wide receiver 24 in fantasy points per game, while getting the eighth most deep targets, the 12th deepest ADOT, and the fourth highest air yard share. He's the clear downfield target in this offense, and as I mentioned with Caleb, he likes to throw downfield a lot. And when you compare this to Burden, Burden was 81st in deep targets, 87th in ADOT, and 88th in air yard share. There is a clear delineation between their two roles. And just for the record, while I'm talking about it, Colson Loveland falls in between them. It's hard to do the ranks and everything because they're two different positions, but Colson Loveland fits in the middle. So for Rome Odunze, I think that Caleb's proclivity to throw it downfield will benefit Odunze. I don't fear the foot. Odunze was a mess when he returned in the playoffs, likely because his foot was still bothering him. But prior to his injury, he was on pace for 128 targets, good, 62 receptions, not good. 936 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was the guy that was dropping balls for Caleb Williams. I think he's a perfectly cromulent high-end wide receiver 3 to middling wide receiver 3 who will likely not benefit too much from the vacated targets because DJ Moore and him play, you know, different parts of the field, and his role is already firmly established on this team. He has a ton of upside if he and Caleb can connect on some of these downfield shots, as he ranked 8th in unrealized air yards last season. Wide receiver 28, pick 61 off the board. Rome or Luther Burden?
Burden.
This was such an easy question 2 years ago. Right.
Well, Luther Burden was in college.
Yeah, I should say a year ago. Let's see. I'm going to go Odunze one more shot.
Woo! Mike's believing in the air yards. All right, Rome Odunze or Carnell Tate?
You guys I don't like. I'll sake, Tate.
I hope it's under Dunze, especially if just being a rookie. So
right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Dunze.
Oh, I'm a market mover. Hold on. I'm gonna take credit for the fact that I tweeted out or I skeeted out last night. Loading Carnell Tate, wide receiver 29, onto my team, and it was a picture of a guy pointing a gun at his foot, and he's now wide receiver 30. So I'm moving markets, everybody. The skeet that I think got maybe 3 likes. You know, we're cooking. All right, Carnell Tate or Christian? Roma Dunze or Christian Watson?
Watson.
Dunze.
Adunze or Jadarian Price?
Adunze.
Adunze.
Adunze or Drake May?
May.
Yeah, May.
Adunze or Fuckercraft?
Craft.
This is where I owe everybody apology. I no longer believe that Drake May is going to be like quarterback 7 or whatever. I'm sorry for doing that in the top 10s. That was stupid of me. I do apologize. Okay. All right. By the way, here's a real nasty stretch of players I would just like to point out when I was doing this yesterday. Bashal Tuten, Roma Dunze, Jaden Daniels, Christian Watson, Carnell Tate, Jadarian Price, Marvin Harrison, all go in order.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's real nasty. And I like Christian Watson this year.
That is the dead zone.
Yeah, that is actually Christian Watson's still going to get hurt. But yeah, that is the dead zone. Like, I'm going to get to that part of the draft and go, boy, I'm just going to reach 8 picks and get Tucker Kraft instead. So, all right, let's talk running backs. I will get no resistance to this from Walker. Hey, did you both know that DeAndre Swift is cool? That he's good? Did you know that he was top? Oh, go ahead.
I think he's like fine and above average, but yeah, that's sure.
He is cool and good. He was top 15 last season in rushing yards, receiving yards, and touchdowns at running back, finishing 16th in fantasy points per game. Last year, he had a hot career high in yards, touchdowns, and rushing yards. So total yards, TDs, and rushing yards individually. He did this on the 22nd highest opportunity share and the 19th highest snap share, thanks to one Mr. Kyle Mamdani. Oh, wait, nope, hold on. Zoran Monongai. No, wait. Kyle Monongai. Got there. All right, bad bit. I'm sorry. Swift was incredibly consistent, finishing with 11 top 24 weeks, which was 12th among running backs, tied with Ashton Jeanty and Saquon, and 5 top 12 weeks, which ranked 15th, also tied with Jeanty. I truly don't know what else there is to say about Swift. He's the RB1 in a strong offense with a good run blocking line that will lose some touches to Kyle Monongai, but he already lost those touches to Monongai last season, and that's getting baked into his ADP. It didn't matter. He's a good check down pass catcher with 3+ targets in 8 games last season, and he scores touchdowns 8 different games with the score last year. His numbers are getting double doubted because they were just okay for some folks, and they think that Monongai will take from him. But Monongai already took from him. That's the thing. He's been here. He's been out here. It didn't matter because Swift with Ben Johnson became one of the most efficient backs in the league last year. He was 8th in yards per touch, 9th in true yards per carry, and 12th in yards created per touch. Also 11th in breakaway runs. I don't know what else there's to say about DeAndre Swift. People are double dipping the Kyle Monongai thing, but Kyle Monongai already stole from him last year. He was 22nd in opportunity share. It wasn't like he was out here getting top 5 opportunity share. And now Monongai is going to cut into that. He already did that. He already did that. So DeAndre Swift, RB21, pick 50 overall. Swift or Bucky?
Oh.
Swift.
Yeah, I got to go Swift.
All right, Swift or Travion?
Back to back in my rankings.
Yeah.
Give me Swift.
Swift or Quinshon Judkins?
Swift.
Judkins.
All right, you want to talk dead zone? Check this out. These 5 players are back to back to back to back to back. Travion, Swift, Irving, Judkins, David Montgomery. There's like, here's the
dead zone. Actually, I think right below that is the dead zone.
Well, I'm just saying, usually they talk about how the dead zone is RB 20 to 25. I agree with you. Like that.
I think it's actually a little bit deeper this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just funny that those guys are like, that's people going, oh shit. You know what it is? That is picks 49 through 53. So that's the opening of round five. People are like, oh shit, yeah. I need to get a running back.
Yep. Yep. And that's when, yeah, that's when it's going to be like, either beat other teams to your guy in the fourth round, mm-hmm. which is what you're going to do with Monty, or, like just wait until the sixth round to take the last one that nobody else took, which is probably what I'll do.
Yeah, and end up with Bashal Tutin accidentally. Whoops.
Nope. I will never end up with any Bashal Tutin.
I will never, quote, draft Bashal Tutin.
End up with Tony Pollard accidentally.
Oh, boy. All right.
Rico Dowdle.
Rico Doodoo. Swift or J-Mo?
J-Mo.
Swift.
Swift or Warren? That would be Tyler. Warren.
Give me Warren.
Mike's like, don't care what Warren is. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's right.
Swift or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
All right. Kyle Monongai. He might have the single most injury contingent upside in the NFL at running back this year, or what the kids call a handcuff. He straight up produces when he gets touches, but he does it on a limited basis because of DeAndre Swift. He had over 14 carries just twice last season, and in those two games finished with 48 carries for 306 yards and a touchdown. All because the Bears front seven it's a good run blocking line. That said, he also offers high end flex value, though for me, I would prefer somebody with a bit more upside than Monongai on a weekly basis. He finished top 12 three times last year, RB 13 through 22, zero times, and RB 23 through 31, four times. So you're just kind of like, you're putting him in there and hope it's that 1 in 4 chance that he has a huge game. Not the greatest flex upside for me, but if you're in a deeper league or if you're desperate or if it's a bye week, I get it. He'll pop off a few times when Swift gets banged up or when the Bears boat race some jamokes, but he will need to score touchdowns to return flex value. He finished with 8 goal line carries last year, so that opportunity might still exist, but it's more likely than not that week to week Monongai is just going to be a meh flex for you. But he's a league-winning handcuff because Roschon Johnson is ass. So if something happens to DeAndre Swift, guess what? Kyle Monongai is going to have like a 70% touch share. So, you know, just saying. He's RB 34, pick 93 overall. Monongai or Kenny Gainwell?
Gainwell.
Gainwell.
Don't call him game poorly, folks. Blake Corum or Kyle Monongai?
Monongai.
I'll go Corum.
All right. You like Corum this year, Mike. I can tell from our things. Monongai or Doodoo?
Doodoo.
Yeah.
Monongai or Wristband Trev, as they call him, as the folks call him.
I'm gonna go Trevor.
Yeah, Trev.
All right. What about Chris Godwin or Kyle Monongai?
Monongai.
Godwin.
All right. Last one. Monongai or Samuel Laporta?
Laporta.
Laporta.
All right. Roschon Johnson also exists. Let's talk about Colston Loveland. He is like the cleanest click on the Bears because he's an elite talent with a clear role and nobody to challenge his throne as the tight end in this offense. They drafted him high. They have a plan for him. They're executing the plan. As a rookie last year, he led the Bears in receiving yards, receptions, and receiving touchdowns, despite getting under 5 targets in each of his first 5 games. He got his first 5 target game in week 6. And from that point on, he paced out to 107 targets, 77 catches, 981s, and 9 touchdowns. Granted, he had that bonkers Bengals game in there. But if you start it after the Bengals game, guess what he paces out to? 108 targets, 77 catches, 904 yards, and 8 touchdowns. This was all with 4 mouths to feed in the passing game. So how did he get here? He was 3rd in tight end ADOT, working on average about 9 yards downfield. Remember I mentioned he's between Burden and Adunze. He works that middle range. He was 4th in tight end air yards, despite finishing 12th in targets and 19th in routes run. He was elite in 4 different efficiency metrics, ranking 6th, 6th, 9th, and 5th in first downs per route run, yards per route run, yards per target, and yards per reception. With no DJ Moore, I consider 108 targets, 77 catches, about 950 yards, 7 touchdowns. That feels like a great Colson, Loveland line. This would have been 214 PPR points last year and tight end 2 overall. And that's just taking what he did after they started using him and projecting it to a full season. I don't really have much to say about Colson Loveland because he is awesome. The Bears are going to use him. They're a top 10 offense, and there's a bunch of vacated targets. So do we like Colson Loveland at pick 40 or Trey McBride at pick 20?
I'll go Loveland.
Loveland.
All right. Again, at cost. Pick 40 for Loveland. Pick 55 for Warren.
Warren.
Loveland.
All right. Get ready to pick not Colson Loveland. Colson Loveland at pick 40 or Tucker Kraft at pick 75?
Oh, Kraft.
Kraft.
All right. Loveland or Ibuka?
Loveland.
Loveland.
Loveland or Scat?
Loveland.
Loveland or Lamar?
Lamar.
All right.
Lamar.
Let's talk about the backup long snapper for the Chicago Bears, Cole Kmet. We actually won't be doing that. I'm done with the Bears. Thank you very much. But I did find out he's their backup long snapper.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Cole Kmet.
That's right. Cole Kmet, you are a player. So is Sam Roush. Neither of you will matter unless Colson Loveland gets hurt, in which case, sure. Cole Kmet, enjoy the Dalton Kincaid range, buddy.
Woo!
All right. I am done with the Bears. I'm going to take a nap. Who wants to go next? Walker, would you like to get it out of the way, or would you like to sit in the cut for a little bit?
No, I'll get it out of the way.
All right. Your 2026 Detroit Lions.
That's right. We'll start off with quarterback as usual. We've got my man JG, the Goof, Jared Goff. Currently going quarterback 16 in the 10th round, which I find appalling. I'm not going to lie. Doesn't make any sense at all. People are just bored again. They forget that Goff is good every year and assume that he's still the guy that Sean McVay was mad at like 6 years ago for some reason. he's been good every year. He's been with the Lions and consistently better as the team has improved. I really don't see any reason why he won't be a top 12 quarterback. He plays in a good offense. He is a good player. They throw the ball quite a bit. They've got a ton of talent around him. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, he's just he's cheaper than Matthew Stafford, and he'll probably outscore him this year. He's cheaper than Patrick Mahomes, and he'll probably outscore him this year. Like, yes. It's... I don't know. I don't know what the problem is here. I have him QB10 as a 7th round pick. He's my best value of any of the players that I'm going to be talking about today, whether it's a Lion or a Packers receiver. I don't understand the lack of appreciation here. I guess it's just because he's an odd looking quarterback because he doesn't run and shit and you know, he just kind of stands there and throws it, but he's really good at that. I don't know what to tell you. His ball placement's awesome. He is quite accurate. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. He throws a lot of touchdowns. He's just not going to run. And so that takes him out of the top two tiers of quarterbacks, but he's right at the top of tier three.
Have you considered Jared Goff? Have you considered that?
Mm-hmm. I have. Yes. Yes, I have, and we're gonna be talking about it less and less, I think.
Yeah, I have a feeling Jared Goff's one of those guys where if you just like rank the quarterbacks, he doesn't end up in your top 10 like I did. But I have a feeling when I'm done with projections, I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, oh, Jared Goff, QB 11. Whoops.
Yep. Yeah, he's right there. I mean, I think I had him 11 or 12. I definitely had him like ahead of Mahomes. But I had Stafford ahead of him. That's why. Guess what? Matthew Stafford had a whole ass season. He had like 3,900 passing yards and 36 touchdowns just on his unpressured plays. My man is unbothered back there in the pocket. So that's, I still believe in Matthew Stafford. So, but I have a feeling Jared Goff, I will still end up once I do projections, which I'm still working on. I have a feeling when all said and done, I will be like, damn, Jared Goff is a great value. Do you know why I know this? Because I do this every year. Every year, see? I finish projections and I'm like, damn, Jared Goff, great value.
Shout out to Walmart for that great value, folks.
Blue light special, folks.
That's what he is. Mike, what are your thoughts on the goof?
Yeah, I just think that a lot of people are still stuck, like you were mentioning about back when 6 years ago with McVay, and they just can't get over the hurdle that he's a different quarterback. He's in a system that fits him a lot better, and he's accurate, and he does things well. And as you also mentioned, they're afraid because he doesn't run that he doesn't add any value. And both things are just false. So I think he's a top 12 quarterback.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
By the way, completely missed it. Honolulu blue light special. There it is.
There we go. That could be an episode title.
I already wrote it down.
Let's go. let's see. Jared Goff or Jalen Warren?
I'm going to go. Are they going in the same range?
They're back to back on my personal sheet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not looking at ADP. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I don't think they are, unless it's two quarterback. But guy I'm more likely to draft is Jared Goff.
Yeah, I agree. I'd draft Goff over Jalen Warren.
By the way, Jared Goff, QB16 by ADP.
I said that, but okay.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. I'm sorry.
You're good. Jared Goff or Justin Herbert.
I like me not listening and just like thinking of the bit. Just like, give me. Before projections, I'm probably going to say Herbert, but probably after projections, I'm going to say Jared Goff more than likely.
I'm going to go Herbert.
Hey, Jared Goff or David Montgomery?
David Montgomery.
There.
I think I might go. Yeah, I'll go David Montgomery.
Jared Goff or Kyle Pitts?
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
All right. Jared Goff or Brock Purdy?
Come on.
Looking directly at Jeff.
Looking directly back at Walker. Brock Purdy. When was the last time Jared Goff did the Dougie? Show me a video of Jared Goff doing the Dougie and I will draft him over Brock Purdy.
I'm honestly surprised there isn't one.
That's true. He is the kind of goofball to try that.
Yeah. He would do it very poorly, but I think he would either do it extremely poorly or shockingly well. There's no in between.
You'd be like, either it would be damn white boys got motion or Jared never do that again.
Yeah. Yes. I think it'd be motion, though, because, like, he doesn't strike me as a Kirk Cousins type, where it's, like, clearly ironic.
That's fair.
And then last one, teammates, Jared Goff or Sam Laporta?
I'd probably go Goff.
I would go Goff. I'm assuming this is at ADP, of course.
Yeah. Laporta's a little more expensive, of course,
Yeah, I would be more likely to far more likely to click Jared Goff.
Entirely fair. I would agree with that. All right, we'll move on to running backs. And the first running back is also the first running back off the board. It's Jahmyr Gibbs. He was RB2 until this week. He has jumped over Bijan.
Market movers.
Which we all believe is correct, obviously. We have said this. He's my RB1. I think he should be the first pick in fantasy this year. Probably going to get 100 targets and over 250 carries. Going to average over 5 yards a carry. Going to score 15 or more touchdowns. I mean, basically, barring injury, which he's never been hurt long term, he's about as foolproof of a bet as there is. I mean, it's a good offense that feeds him the ball a ton, and he's going to score touchdowns because he has most of his career. So he is extremely good in a huge role, biggest of his career. Everything sets up for him to have a really, really great season.
Yeah. Isaiah Pacheco, worse RB2 than David Montgomery.
Yes.
And
especially pass catching.
Yeah. And they pretty much just went, okay, we're going to replace David Montgomery with Isaiah Pacheco and live that be. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to absolutely eat this year. And if he learns how to score on the goal line, he is unstoppable. Even not knowing how to score on the goal line, still unstoppable.
Right, he's been like one of the league leaders in touchdowns by being mid at the goal line. So yeah, yeah, if he's like good at that this year, he could score 20 times.
Like if he just gets like, and he's not an impatient player, but if he gets like, I think he gets a little flustered at the goal line. If he gets like 5% better patience at the goal line, he'll be fine. And so that's just coaching. And but yeah, he the goal line of it is his like last frontier, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and I trust Tashard Choice, who's had a rapport with Gibbs since college. I trust him to get it, that figured out. And I just, Gibbs is in such a fantastic situation. I think he's ready to prove that he feels he's the best running back in the league. I don't know about that, but I think he's ready to try to prove that he is.
He is in the best position to prove that he is, I think.
Yes, I agree. Like, I would probably put Bijan ahead of him right now. And that's it. Mm-hmm. But Gibbs has a chance to overtake Bijan in most people's minds this year because of the scenario he's in, the fact that he will get more targets, and he is slightly more explosive in the open field than Bijan. But and he's in a better offense. It, really, that's the biggest thing, is the touchdown production for Bijan simply won't be there.
Yeah. All right, cool. Extended right, Isaiah Pacheco discourse.
Yeah, we'll talk about Pacheco a little bit. Not extended, though. He's a backup. He is, he's going to have about, you know, 150 opportunities probably. Won't score that many touchdowns, maybe half a dozen or so. Won't average as good of a yards per carry as Gibbs. He'll have value on occasion in games where he just, like, breaks off a long run or the Lions are blowing somebody out because they don't have a very tough schedule this year. But that's pretty much it. Obama voice, I like him better in best ball. it's in redraft, he's just pretty much useless unless Gibbs gets hurt, because you'll never know what game he's going to pop off in, and he's going to get about 8 touches a game or 10 maybe. So he's just not a big enough role to be consistent. He's going RB 45 in the 12th. I have him RB 44 in the 13th. Yeah, if you want a handcuff, or you want to snag somebody else's handcuff to hold it over their head, sure, in the like second to last round or something, but he's not going to be a valuable member of your team unless something happens.
Okay.
What do you guys think about the Pacheco guy?
Pure handcuff. Like,
yeah.
Let's see where he's going in on 4-for-4. He is RB 46. He's in handcuff range, baby. It goes Woody Marks, Tyler Algier, Isaiah Pacheco, Tyjae Spears. Yeah. Hey, y'all like handcuffs?
Yeah, do y'all like backup running backs? Because I got them. Let's see here. I'll do one at each position. Isaiah Pacheco or Jonathan Brooks.
Damn.
I'm going to tell you right now, I will not be drafted. Show me something, young man, and then I will draft you. Barbara Cohen.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Jonathan Brooks definitely needs to demonstrate that he can do something more than just get injured. I'd go Pacheco.
Isaiah Pacheco or Malik Washington?
I'm going to go Pacheco.
That's interesting that we split right down the middle. I would probably go Washington just because he could conceivably lead that team in targets, and Pacheco won't conceivably lead the Lions in anything. But
if everything goes to plan.
Right. If everything goes to plan, Pacheco will be nowhere near the Lions lead in anything.
Yeah. If everything goes to plan, get ready to learn 120 garbage time touches this year.
Most blitzes picked up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then Isaiah Pacheco or The flavor of the week, Brenton Strange.
I'm going to be clear about one thing here. I will not be drafting any quote-unquote Brenton Strange.
Oh, no?
No. That's just not where I'm going at tight end.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pacheco over Strange because I had Strange as a flag plant last year, too. But I'm going to remove that plant and have Pacheco in there.
I think Pacheco has a lot higher upside there because it feels like Brenton Strange's upside is like tight end 8, which is fine. Whereas Pacheco's upside is Gibbs gets hurt and he's a top 12 running back.
Yeah. But
Strange probably requires a Parker Washington injury to be consistently fantasy relevant.
And even then, what if they, like, I'm more intrigued by... Well,
what if they start playing Travis Hunter at more at receiver, then he's kind of screwed again. It's just like, there's a lot of mouths to feed there, and I don't think Brenton Strange is the most talented of them as a pass catcher. He's a good blocker and a reasonably solid pass catcher. Like, he's definitely the best tight end on the team. But being on the field a ton doesn't necessarily equal fantasy production, as we've seen from Kate Otten.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what I was going to say is I'd be more likely to be interested in their cornerback, which you said perfectly.
Right, yeah. All right, on to wide receivers for your Detroit Lions. And this is where it gets interesting, I think. Not with Amon-Ra, though, because he is going wide receiver 4 in the first round, which is exactly where I have him. He's clearly a tier behind Chase, Smith and Jigba and Nacua, but he's very clearly the next best guy and the most consistent option that you can pick at the back end of the first round. He will get the targets. He will score the touchdowns. He had a down season last year and he was still easily a top 6 receiver. I mean, it's just, he's as plug and play as it gets and he's never injured. So there's really not much to say about Amon-Ra that hasn't already been said. He's just a fantasy stud who you can always get mid to back end of the first round and he always produces. So yeah, if you're if you're looking to contend, then the Saint he's not gonna sink your draft in the first round, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Do you like good players?
Right.
In like, good situations with high volume.
And extremely elite rapport with their quarterback.
Yeah. Do you like all those things? Then draft Amon-Ra St. Brown today.
100%. Couldn't agree more. Mike, what are your thoughts on the Sun God?
I've always liked him. Even when he was a rookie, I picked him in as a deeper player, like in the 14th round of my draft. I've always had a thing for Amon-Ra.
Yeah, we've all been huge Amon-Ra heads. Like Walker and I were. We were in the Twitter trenches after his rookie season. Walker and I.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's obviously I don't have the Twitter account anymore, but for a couple of years there, it was very funny to go back and look at the people who were getting mad about Amon-Ra only produced because there was nobody else there. And completely ignoring that the team got way better the instant they started incorporating him in the offense more.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, word? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
the Lions were 0-11-1, and then in the last 5 games, they went 3-2 by throwing him the ball a bunch more. Oh, I wonder who's the good player and who's the farce here. Anyway, grievance over. Time to talk about Jameson Williams. You know, the founder of Slam a Slut Records, as we know.
I doubt Mike saw that picture.
if you don't have that, if you don't know about that, it is Mike. It's in the chat for the Google group, and otherwise, it's some silly shorts that he was wearing when he signed for a house. Jameson Williams, he is immature, folks. But the thing is that he's extremely good at football. And he has a bigger role in this offense than he's ever had before. last season, he clearly made strides in running routes over the middle and underneath so that he can get targets all across the field. Is he ever going to be an Amon-Ra style, you know, metronome? Obviously not. That's not his game. But he's liable to take any catch to the distance because of his pure speed and his strength. He's actually shockingly hard to bring down for a dude who looks like he's 100 pounds. He's currently going wide receiver 25, which outside the top 24 is kind of crazy to me, considering he was, I think, wide receiver 13 or 14 last year. I have him at 16 as a, like, third, fourth turn. Him and Luther Burden are very similar spots for me this year. Another good value, I think, in this offense. If you can pick up a J-Mo, Jared Goff stack, that's going to win you weeks, and it's not going to, like, take all your draft capital either.
Yeah, it's going to be not cheap and cheap, but discounted and discounted.
Right, exactly. I just personally, I feel like people are still worried about the old, you know, the old J-Mo, where it's like, you know, he got a gambling suspension, and oh, he's banged up, you know, and he can't run around, and the team doesn't trust him. That's not the case anymore. He plays a shit ton of snaps. Nobody's coming for his job. You know, don't talk to me about Isaac Tesla. He's fine. He's a normal wide receiver three. He's there. He's very obviously the high volume number two in a high volume offense. And I just don't really see any way he's going to just suddenly get worse. The Lions offense wasn't that great in comparison to how it's been in past years last season. And J-Mo still had his best year of his career. So I'm just, I don't see the backslide. I don't really understand why the ADP is low. I feel like it's just, oh, the Lions weren't very good last year, so let's forget about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lions had a really down year last year too, offensively, and they're still like top 12.
Right. I mean, like, we fired our offensive coordinator midseason, and our coach, who isn't a play caller, took over play calling again, and for the first time in 3 years. And yeah, the offense was still above average. It was just bad for the Lions.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I still have my Twitter account. I just don't use it, and it's locked. I would just like to point out March 15th, 2022, DJ Chark gets added to the Lions. And the discourse is that DJ Chark is going to take away targets. At RFL Red Zone, Mike Valverde, if anything, this helps Amon-Ra as the short and intermediate routes be clear of defensive debris. At Jeff Crisco, ARSB is going to be the official wide receiver of the podcast, isn't he? At Big Daddy Drix. And of course, Walker deleted the account. So, yeah. So we have been in these streets.
Yes, it's been 4 to 5 years of us telling you, hey, this guy's really good. And a bunch of other people being like, but he doesn't play wide receiver the aesthetically pleasing way that I like. So actually, I think he's bad.
Yeah. And also I'm going through, there was I made a post about, like, have we considered perhaps that Amon-Ra St. Brown deserves targets over TJ Hawkinson? People are like, no, you're stupid. So I'm just going through and liking those tweets right now. So.
Ooh, we love to be petty on the internet, folks.
Oh, damn. This guy blocked me. I can't. Wow. Okay. I can't like this post. He blocked me. All right, motherfucker. Okay. Continue. Sorry. Wow.
Blocked on the internet, folks. It's never happened before. Jameson Williams or Zay Flowers?
J-Mo.
I regret to inform you, Zay Flowers.
That's fine. He's also a good pick. Jameson Williams or Davante Adams?
Davante.
Oh, J-Mo.
I agree on J-Mo. Davante old. Jameson Williams or Mike Evans?
J-Mo.
Mike Evans.
You don't have to whisper it, Jeff.
49ers legend, Michael J. Evans.
There you go. J-Mo or T. Higgins?
J-Mo.
And then outside of the position, we'll go J-Mo or Caleb Williams.
J-Mo.
Yeah, J-Mo.
J-Mo or Am Scataboo?
J-Mo.
Give me that.
Did you say Jamon? You got scat, Jeff?
Give me scat, baby.
Oh yeah, I forgot you like scat.
I like scat.
And then JMO or Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren.
Back to the well.
JMO.
Mike taking Tyler Warren in the first round.
That's right. Tyler Warren.
Mike, Jahmyr Gibbs or Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren.
Okay, perfect.
Just didn't care who it was. Just immediately. Jerry Rice or Tyler Warren? Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren.
Easy. Tyler Warren. Easy.
Yeah, not talking about Isaac Tesla. Don't draft him. Sam Laporta, last Lion to be mentioned here. Tight end. And folks, he's got a nice butt. I have to admit it. But. Huh?
Yeah. Sorry, Walker. We have breaking Detroit Lions news. Parentheses, not good.
What?
Uh-oh.
Dave Burkett, who Detroit Free Press, four-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year. Lions cornerback Terrion Arnold has been arrested and is facing multiple felony charges, which carry a potential sentence of up to life in prison.
Holy shit.
What?
Yeah. 3 minutes ago.
Good God.
What did he do?
Well, he's getting cut.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Walker. Wow.
Let's see. Tied to armed robbery and kidnapping.
Good Lord.
Jesus.
In alleged retaliation for being robbed.
Oh, good God.
Well. Yeah, he's probably getting cut. Suppose good thing we signed like 82 corners in free agency.
Perfect.
We got DJ Reed, Rock Ya-Sin.
Oh, you do have Rock Ya-Sin. Okay.
Amik Robertson's went somewhere else, but who else do we have? Ennis Rakestraw is still there. Christian Izian, Roger McCreary. So we got a stable of guys. It'll just be somebody's got to step up and be CB2. Which honestly, Arnold wasn't doing that great at anyway, but yeah, maybe stop taking corners in the first round if you're the Lions, because it's not working very well.
Jeff Dukuda, because he's Dookie, folks. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry to derail the podcast, but
anyway, understandable reason to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam Laporta, he's currently going tight end 8 in the 8th round. Is there any way I can make another 8 in here? And there is, because I also have him as an 8th round pick, but tight end 9. Because I have Smash McDoubles getting a lot of targets.
Wow.
He is good. I mean, there's no real debate about it. He's a good all-around player, but that kind of actually hurts him for fantasy because he has to block a lot. He's never going to be really a top 3 tight end consistently just because the volume isn't going to be as high. They have a lot of other top options. And, you know, while Laporta is very good in the red zone, he doesn't get used as much between the 20s, again, because he's blocking a lot of the time. He's also coming off of a pretty bad injury coming into this season, so I don't expect him to be super effective early in the year. But as the season goes along, I would expect him to come into his own more and show people who the player he really is. I feel like he's a pretty boring pick in fantasy. Like, I won't have much of him just because I tend to like to either get a tight end earlier than this or just then wait. I don't like to take a guy in like as like a back end tight end 1 who doesn't really have the upside to be an elite level tight end. So I personally this year won't have much, if any, Laporta. But I'm curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are on it.
I'm kind of in the same place. Like, I don't see myself ending up with Sam Laporta, even though he will probably end up as a top 10 guy for me. Because my most likely pick is I'm going to be dipping into that Tucker Kraft well. Like, that's my most likely pick. And if I miss on Tucker Kraft, I'm probably going, like, an Isaiah Likely, Juwan Johnson stack or something like that. Like, I'm not wading into those waters. It's just not where I go, and it's where I never go. Like, a guy just outside the blob, I would rather get a guy 3 rounds later who might end up in the blob, like who might end up above the blob, right? So I'm just not Like, he's solid. You can't go wrong. You click that button, you're very unlikely to be disappointed. But that's not where I'm going at tight end this year. And that's just a strategy thing, just like you said, Walker.
Right. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, top 10. Unfortunately, he's just not the same guy he was his rookie year. But he's still solid enough to where he's going to be a tight end one for somebody.
All right. Is that it? Is that the Detroit Lions?
That's the Detroit Lions, folks. Do not probably draft Isaiah Pacheco. Draft Sam Laporta at your own risk. Everybody else is a good to great pick, I would say.
Alrighty, Mike, let's talk about JJ McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings. Sorry,
hell yeah.
Backup quarterback JJ McCarthy.
So the offensive coordinator, Wes Phillips, runs a modern West Coast offense heavily rooted in the Sean McVay coaching tree, which he helped bring to the Minnesota Vikings alongside head coach Kevin O'Connell. The scheme heavily relies on outside zone run concepts, heavy play action passing, motion before the snap, and utilizing tight ends in both protection and intermediate passing. Now, as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, Kyler Murray only played in 5 games last season in his limited starting sample before being sidelined with a foot injury. Murray had the 7th lowest yards per attempt, the 4th lowest ADOT, and the 5th lowest hero throw rate per fantasy points data. In the previous 6 seasons, he had never finished lower than QB12 in fantasy points per game. However, this season, he will battle JJ McCarthy, but I'd be shocked if Murray isn't starting week 1 with how his contract is structured and him choosing many over many of the other places that he could have landed on. So that's Kyler Murray.
Who starts more games, Kyler or JJ?
Kyler.
By a lot?
Yeah, I would say so.
I agree.
I would agree, yes. JJ McCarthy is that bad.
Oh, he stinks. He's so bad. He's the worst.
So definitely don't draft him. And then Kyler, I mean, obviously he doesn't have the most stable job of any quarterback, but good runner, you know, he picks up points that way. I feel like he's a lot better pick than like a Malik Willis, just because he's proven that he can put up fantasy production consistently, you know?
Yeah, he's done it before. He was for a part of like half a year, he was an MVP candidate in like 2023, 22, somewhere in there. He put up like legit elite numbers for half a season. So, yeah, he's been there.
And then J.J. McCarthy, outside of being injured, McCarthy hasn't been very good, as he said, finished as the QB29 last season after missing an entire rookie season. There are reports that Minnesota still believes in McCarthy, but they don't have much choice. And if that belief was strong, why bring in Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
That's pretty much the quarterbacks there. They have Carson Wentz, but his arm is dead. So I don't see. I mean, the name alone is a good third quarterback, but yeah, it would be shocking if he gets any playing time whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Aaron Jones. Last year he missed 5 games while dealing with hamstring, shoulder, and hip injuries. When he was active, he averaged 13.3 touches and 62.3 total yards as the RB31 in fantasy points per game. Entering his age 32 season, I don't think Jones can be expected to play a full 17 games as a workhorse back. he will likely split work with Jordan Mason this season, picking up most of the passing game usage only on early downs. His test days are behind him, or his best days are behind him. His best days are behind him, as he was 32nd in explosive run rate, 43rd in missed tackle rate, and 49th in yards after contact per attempt. That's per Fantasy Points data. In the receiving game, he's still above average, ranking 26th in yards per route run and 14th in first downs per route run. Jones has had great career with injuries, and being 31, his best seasons are behind him.
Yeah, he's on the way out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Walker, what do you think on Aaron Jones?
I mean, I like Aaron Jones as a player. I always have, but he's probably one of my main I'd rather be out a year early than a year late guys this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be taking a lot of Jordan Mason, who I'm sure Mike's about to talk about, but I'm going to be taking a lot of Mason late because I kind of anticipate Jones being banged up.
He like basically was off the team, and then they were like, all right, you can come back, like, that's fine, whatever. All right, Jordan Mason,
a strong early down option for NFL offenses, and should continue to serve in the role this season for Minnesota. Last year, he was the RB42 in fantasy points per game while soaking up 158 rushing attempts and producing 758 rushing yards and 6 total touchdowns. Among 49 qualifying backs, he ranked 10th in explosive run rate, 7th in rushing success rate, 9th in missed tackle rate, and 15th in yards after contact, and that's per Fantasy Points data. Aaron Jones will continue to be the passing down partner for Mason for Minnesota in 2026. If or when Jones misses time, Mason could be a plug-and-play RB2.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if and when Aaron Jones is not playing, Jordan Mason is going to be a must start running back. The only downside is they don't run at the goal line like at all. Like, Kevin McConnell's never done that. Did I say Kevin McConnell? Kevin O'Connell has never done that. And so that's the only thing that keeps me from like being like, oh, he's going to be, a slam dunk guy without Aaron Jones. But I think he'll be a weekly starter for you if Aaron Jones goes down.
Yeah, I agree. Walker, any thoughts?
I really like Jordan Mason this year. I think he's a good running back. Pass catching is not his forte and won't be, but this is like drafting a Gus Edwards style individual who actually has burst and can break long runs. I feel like he's almost a lock to beat his ADP. And so he's a smart pick at the end of your drafts.
Yeah.
And then there's rookie Von Claiborne, but yeah, you're not going to be drafting him at all. So
Demon Claiborne?
Demon.
I love him in best ball.
Yeah, he's pretty fast and has some good change of direction and a good receiver, but I it's gonna be hard for him to see the field with Jones and Mason already ahead of him.
Yeah, my comp for him was Anton Smith, which if you don't know, go look him up. I know you know, but if you don't know, go look him up. Like, he is going to be on like every one of my best ball rosters, like in round 18 click every single time, because he is going to get like 4 40 yard touchdowns this year at some point.
Yeah, he's that fast.
Yep.
Thoughts on Claiborne, Walker?
I don't mind the player. I think he's got some exciting traits, but I do think that he will not be particularly relevant this year outside of maybe like an occasional pass catching role. Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of Breshard Smith style hype pieces about him, but not much actual production.
Yeah, I think to be fair, 40 yard touchdown rushes and is going to end up with like 350 yards.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to get enough touches to consistently matter.
Yeah, he'll be the type that break two long runs in a game and then everybody will go pick him up and then mm-hmm. he won't be heard of again.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson was not his usual self in 2025. He finished as RB wide receiver 28 in fantasy points per game, wide receiver 14 in expected fantasy points per game. Obviously, a ton of his season was impacted by the level of quarterback play, but Jefferson also slid to 36th in separation score and 38th in route win rate among 109 qualifying per fantasy points data. A lot of his blame can fall at the feet of Minnesota quarterback room, as I said last year, but not all of it, considering the per route run metrics, as well as the fact that Jefferson was tied for the 6th most drops. Yes, he was also 78th in catchable target rate. So 2025 was a mixed bag, yeah. Was a mixed bag with some blame on both sides of the aisle. Last year, Jefferson was still 6th in target share, 28.5%, and 7th in first read share, 35.1%. So we should all expect the Minnesota passing attack to run through him again in 2026.
Yeah, I think, what do we think? Bounce back Justin Jefferson year? Because let me tell you, somebody with Justin Jefferson in a few dynasty leagues, the vultures are circling. They're trying to get at him because they think they can buy low. But I think he'll bounce back. Either he'll bounce back or he will have a meltdown to end all meltdowns, because my man was patient as hell with J.J. McCarthy last year. So I think a good bounce back year is in the cards for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think, especially with Kyler Murray at quarterback, and he was much better with Carson Wentz at quarterback than he was with J.J. McCarthy. So I think Kyler Murray's better than Carson Wentz. So I think bounce back is definitely in the cards.
Sweet.
What do you think, Walker?
Totally agree on the bounce back. I fully expect a much more normal Justin Jefferson style season. I think he's a back end of the first round pick. I think I have him, prospect 11 overall, or prospect player 11, and wide receiver 5.
Yeah. Oh, 5. Wow.
Yeah, I have him above Lamb.
Okay. All right.
Jordan Addison. 2025 fall off was heavily tied to poor quarterback play. You're going to hear that a lot. an early season suspension leading to the least productive fantasy season of his young career. Still, the former first round pick flashed upside whenever the Vikings received confident quarterback play. Averaged 77 receiving yards per game with Carson Wentz under center. Addison's downfield role continues to create splash play potential, but also makes him more volatile week to week with Kyler Murray now in Minnesota. Addison profiles as a strong bounce back candidate.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, so Jordan Addison, just there's a lot more appealing players, you know, that are going in his range to me. Like he's going one pick before Jaden Reed. I'd rather have Jaden Reed. He's going a couple picks before Travis Kelce. I'd rather take Travis Kelce. A few picks behind Ricky Pearsall. I'd rather Pearsall. I'd rather Quentin Johnston than him. So it's like, he's just kind of going in that range where I'm just going to kind of like, oh, I dig Wandale over him. He's kind of going in a range where I'm just going to kind of just like, my eyes are just going to pass over Jordan Addison without a second thought.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy situation. What do you think, Walker?
He's kind of back end of like maybe top 36, but he's never caught a very high percentage of his passes, regardless of quarterback. He's explosive and he catches quite a few touchdowns based on his kind of lack of size, but he's not really the most consistent performer. You kind of get the JMO experience with him, but without as many big games and with more duds. So it's just, he's a frustrating player to have in lineup leagues because he's just not, he's just not consistent. He doesn't give you that week to week solid wide receiver three finish. He's more of a high end wide receiver four slash like boom bust flex guy. I wouldn't mind picking him, you know, in the middle of the draft, but there's probably going to be guys I like better in that range.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Juwan Jennings. I have a lot to say about Juwan Jennings.
He's a hoe.
Right.
After spending his first six seasons with the San Francisco 49ers, he signed a 1-year, $8 million contract with the Minnesota Vikings. He brings a stout athletic profile and solid 2-year stat line to the offense. He scored 15 touchdowns over two seasons and figures to have a role in the passing game behind Jefferson and Addison. Jennings will certainly benefit from the presence of his teammates and should vie for opportunities in the red zone. But because of Addison and Jefferson, his weekly ceiling will be limited. Maybe injuries open up more opportunities, but to start the season, it's tough to envision Jennings as anything more than an end of the roster option. However, Jennings still offers some touchdown appeal in deeper formats. Jennings averaged 11.6 points per game in 2025 with the Niners, 14 points per game in 2024, and he was at 5.2 points per game his first three seasons of his career. And could be closer to that level of production again, given his role in Minnesota in 2026.
Kyle Shanahan merchant, like Juwan Jennings was all role. Like he's very good at the role, but it's not one that can like produce consistently. I'm out on Juwan Jennings. I loved him on the Niners, but we're gonna see a Kendrick Bourne style situation where he went to. Yes. He went to the Patriots and then, oh shit, he's gone. He disappeared off the face of the earth.
No, Juwan Jennings is coming in to be Jalen Naylor from last year and get like the occasional 90-yard two touchdown game, and every other game he has like 1 for 15.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, the rest of the guys, Felton and what's his name? Wysong and all those kind of guys, they can you can leave off your draft board.
Hayden Birdsong? Yeah,
Wysong?
Yeah, you can ignore those guys.
Wysong when you can dance, am I right?
Yeah. Damn, got him. All right, let's get TJ Hockenson out of the way.
Hockenson. It was only 3 years ago that TJ Hockenson had 95 catches for 960 yards and 5 touchdowns. But Hockenson tore his ACL and MCL in his right knee in late December of that 2023 season, and he has yet to regain his old form. Last year, Hockenson had 51 catches for 538 yards and 3 touchdowns in 15 games. Granted, the Vikings quarterback was standard, which might help explain why Hockenson averaged a career low 8.6 yards per catch. The Vikings could conceivably get a quarterback upgrade with Kyler Murray this season, and tight end Trey McBride was Murray's favorite target. But Hockenson is entering his 29-year season, and he'll have to share targets with Jefferson, Addison, and consider him a low tight end 2 or a high tight end number 3.
Yeah, I have no interest in him at all. At Walker, all.
No interest. No, his production has gone down consistently since he went to Minnesota. They have more weapons in the passing game. You know, with Jennings is a little better than Jalen Naylor, but it's not a significant change. I mean, it's just, at best, you're going to get the same shit you've been getting, which hasn't been very good. And at worst, he's going to be completely useless and not fantasy relevant even as a streamer. So no reason to pick him, in my opinion.
All right. All right, should we talk about the sole ontologically evil franchise in the National Football League?
I think there's more than one, but it's certainly one of them.
It's the most evil. This is something that unites Lions fans, Niners fans, Bears fans. Everybody can agree. Green Bay Packers, evil franchise. All right. So I decided I'm going to do Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft, and I don't know why I decided I was going to do Jordan Love. I have no interest in this man at all whatsoever, except for in two QB leagues. Neither does anybody else. In our discussion last week, we were like, well, somebody might be like, oh, Jordan Love's top 13 quarterback or whatever. He's QB 19 by ADP, pick 127 overall. He's an afterthought in one quarterback leagues and a back-end QB 2 and two QB leagues. We should have punted him. There's nothing interesting about him. He was QB 17 in fantasy points per game last year. If you strip out his injury game in week 16, he's there. He exists. Of all the quarterbacks in the National Football League, he is one of them. And I don't know. What else? Stalling for time. Anybody got a birthday coming up? Anybody? No? Okay. I got nothing to talk about with Jordan Love. He stinks. He throws a lot of deep balls. He was 8th in ADOT last year, 11th in deep ball attempts, but his league average in throwing them, 15th in deep ball catchable pass rate. Pretty much his best skill is keeping the Packers on script and making the EPA machine go burr. He had him with Bo Nix and Sam Darnold, but good luck guessing which one it's going to be. You can take him as a back end QB2 if you think like a Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson in a two quarterback league and want to wait for your second quarterback, but he offers almost no upside at that spot. He certainly exists. Do we want Jordan Love or Tyler Shuck?
Love
or Malik Willis?
Love
or Baker Mayfield?
Mayfield.
Love or Kevin Concepcion?
Love, yeah.
Or Mark Andrews?
Love. Andrews.
Walker, this one's for you. Jordan Love or Chris Rodriguez?
Even I would go Jordan Love.
Wow, really?
I think so, yeah. Rodriguez is a nice, he's a fun speculative pick, but he's still Chris Rodriguez. Give me a break.
All right, sounds good. All right, who's doing running backs?
That'd be me.
All right, he's in jail. Who's doing wide receivers? All right, Mike, let's talk Josh Jacobs and et cetera.
So Josh Jacobs has been the RB8 and RB9 in fantasy points per game during his two seasons in Green Bay. He dealt with knee injury last season, which impacted his snap share and effectiveness. Last year, after week 6, he surpassed 60% of the snaps in only two games. He ranked 22nd in explosive run rate and 19th in missed tackle rate per fantasy points data. He should be a borderline RB1. While his rushing yards took a dip in 2025, he more than made up for it with 13 rushing touchdowns. Jacobs finished among the league leaders in rushing touchdowns. He remains the go-to option for Green Bay in the red zone, and that raises his floor and ceiling at the same time. Jacobs has averaged over 16 fantasy points per game in the last two seasons with the Packers and should be drafted as a rock-solid RB2 if he isn't expected to miss time in 2026. But his status for 2026 remains uncertain following a May arrest linked to domestic violence allegations.
Yeah, that's the one thing. The NFL moves slowly. I think he'll play the season. I think he's a volume merchant. He's starting to hit the cliff. And the DV thing just makes me not want him on my team. So I will have zero, Josh Jacobs this year.
Yeah, way too risky early in your draft for a guy who got arrested recently. I'm good on that one, especially since, as Jeff said, as Mike said, he's getting older. He's always been more volume than efficiency. Those guys typically don't age as well as your dudes who get 5-something yards a carry.
Yeah. All right. So is there anybody else in the backfield worth worrying about, Mike?
No, not really. I mean, you have Mashaun Lloyd, which he's the guy I don't think he's ever seen a snap in his life.
Bro, he has. He snaps his damn hamstring all the time.
All the time, yeah. There's Pierre Strong. He's still there. Or is there? I don't know if he came with free agency. Was he there last year? I don't think he was there last year. Not that it matters, but
I don't think he was. No.
So yeah, there's no one but Josh Jacobs.
All right. So don't draft the Packers backfield. Walker, it's Jaden Reed time.
Oh yeah, it is. First, I'm gonna mention Christian Watson a little bit. Who I know, Jeff, you said you don't mind him this year.
Yeah.
I'm not his biggest fan, but that's mostly because of the season-long thing. On a per-game basis, he's probably going to be fairly valuable, like he usually is, like borderline top 24. It's just that he's one of the few guys that I do bake in injury risk because he's never played a full season or even really that close. So if you get, like, 10 games out of him, that's pretty good, but the problem is he's going in the sixth round, and I don't think I can take I can use a top 35-40% of my draft pick on a guy who is probably going to play like half the season. I would rather just trade for him while he's hurt and then enjoy the fruits of my very limited labor in about a month. Going wide receiver 29 in the sixth round. I have him 30, wide receiver 37 as an eighth round pick. Not the worst value in this receiver room, I'll tell you, but it's not a great one in my opinion. Mike, what are your opinions on Watson this year?
It all bakes in whether he's going to stay healthy or not. He really, really came on strong. They think he's going to remain healthy. Didn't they just sign him to a 3-year contract
last year? Yeah, they signed.
I think it was he's getting, I saw something, oh no, I thought it was he more millions of dollars than he had career catches, but he had 133 career catches, so I think that was just a joke because it was $110 million.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, he flashed last year. I like to see that continue. The talent is definitely there for him, but you're taking that risk of injury because this dude's been injured quite a lot.
I would like to point out he did play 15 games in 2024 and he had 53 targets. Okay. Yeah, this fan has never had more than 66 targets in a season because he simply gets hurt too much.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Good Lord. The thing is, I projected him for 80 targets, and it still ended up wide receiver 37 in raw projections. So, like, when he plays, he's pretty good, and he will win weeks for you, but he's basically like, what if Will Fuller got hurt more?
80 targets would be his career high by 14.
Right.
Right. I regret to inform you all, I am out on Christian Watson again.
See, this is the thing, is it's just like, Christian Watson is really good in theory, and then in reality it's like, man, this guy's never playing.
This guy right. doesn't play at all. Yeah, so I regret to inform you all, I'm in fact back out on Christian Watson.
Unfortunately, elementary, my dear Watson.
Folks.
And that's where you're playing the same amount of games as there are grades in elementary school, buddy.
Damn. Six? Hold on. Different part of the country. Are there 5 or 6 in elementary school in Michigan?
Sometimes there's 7.
7?
Sometimes it's 6th grade is also in middle school, yes.
Oh, I was not counting kindergarten. Okay, so...
Oh, kindergarten's or... still a grade. That counts.
Nah, does it have a number?
It's still a grade. Doesn't... The numbering system is not very good, to be clear, but kindergarten does count.
So I want to hear you start calling kindergartners 0th graders.
No, I won't be doing that. that sounds terrible. Next receiver is our king, Spartan Dog, Jaden Reed. Woo! Going as wide receiver 45 in the 9th round. for a guy who's going to be Jordan Love's wide receiver one for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that Jaden Reed is a fantastic player? No. Am I saying that Jaden Reed is very good at the role that he has in the Green Bay offense, and that role probably isn't going to change much? Absolutely, I'm saying that. He's most likely going to lead the receiver room in targets. He is a shorter area option that will catch a higher percentage of his targets than the other options in this room. He has shown an ability to go up and get the ball in contested catch situations and get open at a consistent rate. He's also used in the running game a little bit, so he should get a bit of a rushing boost. I have him as wide receiver 31 and a 7th round pick. I think he's one of the best wide receiver 4 values you can get, and I would draft him a good round and a half ahead of where he's going, because somebody has to be the lead receiver here, and Reed has shown that he can produce. So I'm going to go with that over either a guy who can't stay on the field or a guy who has shown absolutely nothing so far. Obviously, Jeff, I know you're a big Jaden Reed head this season. Mike, what are your thoughts on Jaden Reed?
I think he's another guy that is, you know, injuries definitely mounted up. But he has some good long-term upside. Explosive out of the slot, which is nice. So I those kind of things. We'll see what happens, but I'm not really that high on him.
Boo, get out of my face.
I mean, he plays the slot. That'll open up for some targets, but those injuries.
Yeah, I think so. My thoughts on Jaden Reed are the slot's nice, injuries not nice. Like LaFleur was like, I betrayed this team last year. My offense was so bad. What I did was terrible. I need guys to have defined roles. I need that to not rotate them out so much, which it was the problem with the Packers. The problem with the Packers was they had 5 wide receivers, right? They let 2 of them go. They stopped themselves from having to rotate guys. Jaden Reed is going to be on the field way more than he was last year. Like, I don't know if he comes off the field. Like, to be clear here, it's the second Christian Watson's hammy flares up, Jaden Reed's going to be a 90% snap share guy. I mean, he's probably going to, if even before then, he's going to be at like 75% at worst. And, you know, this is an offense that likes to stay on schedule. And with Josh Jacobs on the back half of his career, the way his Josh Jacobs first down runs are not going to be as good as they were in the past. So they're going to be behind schedule on second down, which means they're going to have to pass short on third down to stay on schedule, which isn't Tucker Kraft's game, or that is Tucker Kraft's game, but it's also Jaden Reed's game. So hell, I'm in on Jaden Reed because that's how they're going to keep this offense on schedule. This is a very like, let's stay on schedule offense. Like, remember I called Juwan Jennings a shanty merchant? Like, Jaden Reed could have the Juwan Jennings role in the Matt LaFleur. Which LaFleur? Is that the correct LaFleur? Now I'm getting them mixed up. It's Matt, right?
Matt is Green Bay. Mike is Arizona.
Okay. So it is Matt. I'm correct. But he's more dynamic than that. And so, you know, I'm all the way in on Jaden Reed. Especially, he's wide receiver 46 off the board. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, I truly don't understand. Like, there are a lot of good wide receivers, but in no world am I drafting a quote unquote Cortland Sutton over him, or a Parker Washington over him, or a DK Metcalf. I'm just not doing it. Chris Godwin, no thank you. Michael Pittman, whatever. Like, I truly don't understand the wide receiver 46. So I'm all the way in.
Yeah, I am in also.
All right. Matthew Golden.
Speaking of guys that I am not in on, Matthew Golden. This dude sucked his entire rookie season, got outproduced by everyone in the receiver room except for Dontavian Wicks, who also sucks. people are just assuming he's going to get better because he's young, got drafted high, and has more opportunity, which are all potential reasons somebody could get better, but they ignore the fact that he was the fourth best receiver on his own team last year on a team that didn't have any really that great receivers. So I would like him to prove to me that he can play NFL football before I draft him any higher than like the last pick in the draft. Currently going wide receiver 51 in the 11th round, which is just way too high. I mean, I know it's near the end of your draft, but there's just no reason to do that when you can get somebody who could be the number one receiver on their team, like a KC Concepcion or something like that. I'd rather take one of the Vegas guys than him, to be honest. They at least have opportunity. So I don't see, I guess the upside here is that he catches a bunch of deep touchdowns because he's really fast, but what other actual receiver skill does he have? He doesn't get yards after the catch because he goes down on first contact. He's not nearly as elusive of a route runner as he should be with his shiftiness and speed. He can't go up and get 50-50 balls. So he's basically just a speed merchant. You know, he's big Tutu Atwell. Whoop-de-doo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Walker, you mentioned never good in the NFL. Questionably never good in college?
Yeah, he was good for like 8 games in college, and everybody's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
This guy gonna be crazy.
He dominated targets with his competition being Gunnar Helm and Isaiah Bond.
Yeah, it's like Gunnar Helm, fine. Isaiah Bond, actively bad and also a criminal.
Also vying for targets. Jaden Blue.
It was an offense full of guys.
They certainly are guys.
And Quinn Ewers at quarterback. I mean, that was just the entire offense was just like some guy.
He is a guy. Don't forget. If anybody tells you Quinn Ewers isn't a guy, they are wrong.
Wrong. Absolutely. He's the epitome of a guy.
He is certainly a guy. All right. Kate texted me, when are you done? Because I have to make dinner. And so I think we should move on to Tucker Kraft. Oh, wait. Yes. No. Do we have 10 minutes on Savion Williams?
No.
Okay. Tucker Kraft. Guess what? I don't know if I want Colson Loveland or Tucker Kraft more. And I talked about how much I love Tucker Kraft earlier. He's an elite NFL tight end, except I have bad news. Might have shit opinions. I watched a video. I'm like, this guy's kind of a dickhole. I don't like him. Personally, I don't like him. On the football field, I like him. He produced exceptionally well last year before his ACL injury. Latest reports are that he is likely to start camp on the PUP, but everyone plans for him to be back week one. He was at tight end U doing stuff, so it looks like he's going to be back ready to go. Let's talk about 2025 Tucker Kraft. He played in 7 games before getting hurt in the first half of the Packers Week 9 game. So any statistics I give you are going to exclude that game. And any rankings are as of Week 8, which was his last fully healthy game. Got it? Okay. So he was 11th in route participation last season, running a route on 73% of the dropbacks, ranking first in yards per target, second in yards per route run, just behind Dalton Kincaid. First in yards per reception, and his 26.1% of his team's receiving yards trailed only Trey McBride. What's wild is he did this with the 23rd highest ADOT, 4.5 yards downfield, which is like bonkers low, tied with Evan Engram and Jake Ferguson. He wasn't targeted downfield like Colson Loveland. He was targeted short and then ran for the rest. He was the yak god in 2025 with 11.13 yards after the catch per reception, almost 3 full yards ahead of the number 2 tight end. Mike, are you paying attention? Number 2 tight end, Tyler Warren, baby.
Hell yeah.
He was 8.16 yards per target. The gap between Tyler Warren and Tucker Kraft was slightly bigger than the gap between Tyler Warren and the number 13 tight end in yak per reception, David Njoku. This is because you could not bring down Kraft. First in yards after contact per reception at 3.83, with a huge gap ahead of Aronde Gadsden at 2.5. First in missed tackled force per reception. And at the time of his injury, he ranked 9th in catches, 3rd in yards, 2nd in touchdowns with 30, 469, and 6. He was top 10 in all these stats while already having his bye week. The Packers had already had their bye week at this point. His 67 yards per game led the position. So what we have is a tight end who is elite at everything, got hurt, everybody forgot about him. The Packers jettisoned Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks. He has an injury-prone wide receiver one, a wide receiver two that we like but is heretofore unproven in Jaden Reed, and a potential bust wide receiver as the wide receiver three, and whose running back is a piece of shit with no depth behind him. I ask you, unironically, who is stopping Tucker Kraft? And do not say Jordan Love.
Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren.
Perfect.
All right. Kraft is tight end. I promise this is not a bit. I promise this is not a bit. This was my first question. Tucker Kraft is tight end 5, pick 75 overall. Tucker Kraft or Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren.
Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft or Harold Fannin?
Kraft.
Fannin.
Kraft or Loveland?
Loveland.
Kraft.
I'm going Kraft, baby. Kraft or any of these guys? Parker Washington, DK Metcalf, or Alec Pierce?
Kraft.
Kraft, yeah.
Kraft or Tony Pollard?
Kraft.
Kraft or Caleb Williams?
Ooh.
Kraft dinner.
Kraft dinner?
Yeah, I'm going to go Kraft too.
Call me Mac and Cheesehead, baby. I'm eating that Tucker Kraft.
There we go, Mac and Cheesehead. That'd be a good episode title if we didn't have a really good one already.
At Honolulu Blue Light. Oh, Honolulu. Oh, now it'd be too long. Honolulu Blue Light special on Mac and Cheesehead. Just the episode title. Oh. Just like...
so long. I mean, we've had long episode titles before, but they were like clear bits. That was, yeah, that's too much, I think.
That's too much. Yeah, that's just jamming stuff together. All right. So that'll do it for this week's episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. We'll be back next week to talk the American Football Conference North, featuring Bo Nix. He's a player in that conference. Patrick Mahomes. Guess what? There's going to be a lot of gloating because Jeff was right. Also other players. Also, there's apparently wide receivers on the Raiders. Mike's looking very strongly into that. So
yeah.
So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.